You're listening to the Reinvest Podcast, where each Tuesday we will show you how to reclaim, reconnect, and refocus your life by bringing you the top real estate professionals in the industry. We'll pull back the curtain so you can implement these tools and tactics to build generational wealth. Your hosts, Garrett Gatton and Seth Simonillo. Welcome, welcome to episode 39 of the Reinvest Podcast, where Seth and I get to show you how to maximize your life through the power of real estate investing. Need to shorten that. It's starting to get a little long there.
You just need to come up with something else to say when we intro.
So it's been a good one, man. At this point, if you're listening to this, we are on YouTube, doing weekly episodes on Tuesday mornings for the releases. So please, your support is what helps us keep doing this. We just hit over 2,000 downloads since we started this a little over a year ago. So be sure if you've enjoyed it and haven't left a review yet, please do that. That would be helpful and a huge blessing to us. Man, it's been awesome. We've had a lot of different guests on throughout the last year that we've been doing this. But today we get to hit somebody a little bit different who's in real estate, but also more the tech sector. So Zach Bowers, a former Lima native, is with us today. Zach, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Good. I was telling you on the phone some of kind of the pieces that were connecting in my head when I had heard that you were associated with TriVest and that was something that you had started with. But our first interaction happened on a basketball court. Yeah. And I'm not originally from Lima, but when I came here, the Bauer brothers kind of had this notoriety about them. And you guys would kind of like roll in together places. Was that intentional? Did you try to like intimidate people through that?
I hope not. But yeah, we grew up, in a basketball family, grew up with four brothers of my own. And so basketball was a big part of what we did and still enjoy it to this day. Although I'm discovering what old man basketball means at this point, which basically means that you're feeling it 2 weeks later when you play again. So, but adjusting.
I was literally talking to somebody the other day who's a pastor in town and they do a basketball league and stuff. And if it was that same moment where he's like, hey, you could come play with us. We have two nights. The young guys play on here. And I was a little offended that he invited me to come play with the old guys. But also, I was like, I think that is what
that's
I
need. Wise. So, that's probably accepted. Wise.
Yeah. There's an acceptance going on.
So, Zach, you're the co-founder of TriVest, but you've also, you're an entrepreneur. So, I mean, have you done anything else previous to TriVest? What did that look like for you?
Yeah. It feels like most of my life I've been just in the entrepreneurial space and starting a couple of different businesses. And so really fresh out of college or towards the tail end of college, got the first taste of building a technology company, a software product at that time. And didn't know anything about programming, anything about software at that point, but knew that I wanted to start my own and run my own businesses.
What'd you go to college for?
Business. So that was okay. The plan, business.
So you had the business side, then you were going to figure out the software side.
Well, okay. You know, at that time, you had this explosion of mobile apps in particular, right? This was just such a big deal. And I knew that that was intriguing to me, but I knew nothing about building mobile apps. I knew there was these mystical unicorn creatures called software developers that could build mobile apps. I didn't know anybody, or I didn't know any of those. And so I decided just to learn myself and dove in at that time as I was getting my degree to learn how to build mobile apps in particular, and loved it, just fell in love with it. And that's where I started and I built my first and sold that and ended up launching me into some additional software companies and startups. That have led me where I am today.
All right. So our guests always do this. They are given their life bio kind of leading up to where they are today. And they kind of gloss over these high level things that are like monumental moments. So can you like explain a little bit within your comfort level, you said you sold one of those businesses. Like what did that look like? Did that give you like income to be able to go and do that? Or did you still have to have a W-2 in the meantime? Or
yeah.
Like who bought it? What was the application?
Yeah. So No, it did not replace my income at the time. And I think that's part of the entrepreneurial journey that maybe we'll talk about later. But, you know, starting small, right? You have this idea of software exits that end up in the millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. And that's very real. But I think starting small, when you just are getting started, any successful exit is exciting to you. And so
it's a proof of concept when you have an exit, right? Yeah. Somebody sees what you did, enough value to pay you for it,
yeah.
An application that they were going to then use or scale or monetize somehow.
Yeah, 100%. And so that's what took place. At this time, my wife and I moved out to Colorado. And that was the first opportunity I had to get a taste of the startup world. And that's where we ended up selling that to the state of Colorado. Sort of an exchange there, unique scenario. But it was, you know, it was a nice bump. It was a nice taste of what an exit, like you said, someone valuing something that you've given life to. And so that really launched us forward. But yeah, I mean, that was, I'd say, a launching pad for getting further involved into the software startup world.
So I think you had said maybe, is it how many software companies have you started from the time that you sold the first one? In between TribeVest, how many were there then? And then was there kind of a linear progression? Did those concepts or ideas build on each other, or were they just abstract, disconnected, completely different applications?
Completely different applications. But I think what you discover in the software realm is it started with just building a product. I wouldn't have even had called that a company at the time, right? I just knew there was this product that I wanted to build. And I think part of that evolution is understanding how to build a company around a product. And I'd say that was the progression from one to another. Right before TribeVest was involved with a digital fuel payment solution. So being able to be at the gas pump and pay via your phone, QR code, what have you, cashless. This is pre-COVID as well. And so that was the first time to really craft a company around a software solution and understand that it goes beyond just that product, right? A lot of software developers just focus on the software. Well, you need to be able to build a company around it as well.
So for the digital payment for a fuel pump, I mean, did that spawn out of you being like, oh, I hate having to go into the store and pay with a car? I mean, like, how did that idea come?
Yeah, that was originated with a co-founder at the time who, I think saw where things were headed in terms of digital payments. And then also in that market in particular at fuel stations, there's not a lot of margin that you're working with there. And so these owners are making pennies on the dollar on the fuel. And when you add in something like a credit card processing fee, right, it just kills these small businesses. And so I think the opportunity was there for a larger margin when you're doing it digitally.
So the cashless payment was maybe with a debit card to alleviate having a middleman from a
ACH,
credit card processor.
Some of those non-card related payment processing.
So with that business, did you exit and your co-founder is still doing it, or did another company buy you guys out?
Yeah, regret. That's one of my largest regrets in terms of past experiences. Is we chose to walk away from that right prior to COVID. Timing is so much of everything in the startup world. And so I think knowing what I know now with where cashless payments were headed, and of course now you see that everywhere.
Yeah.
But it actually opened the door to TribeVest. And so I can't say I fully regret it.
You're like, but why can't I have I done both?
Yeah.
I want my cake always. And eat it too. No, I think that's interesting from an entrepreneur perspective, right? Hindsight's 2020. And many times it was those things that got you to where you are today, but you could have done things differently, right?
Yeah.
So do you look back on that and even maybe how you sold? Do people stay in and keep an equity position? When there's consolidation of ideas, companies, products, a lot of the time they'll buy out but leave people in with a form of shares. Is that kind of translate into the tech world? And
Yeah, I think that's and that actually parlays into TribeVest well, because so much of that needs to be done up front, right? You need to understand what are the deals and agreements going in, so that when the time comes, whether it's an intended exit or a not intended exit, it's clear. The expectations are clear. It's something that we pride ourselves in at TribeVest when you're putting together tribes up front. Same way, just in the general software space, is your, whether it's your initial cap table or your operating agreement, however you're structured, mm-hmm. being able to detail what does an exit look like, or if someone wants out of the business, say, you know, what does that look like? And so often it does look like someone has the opportunity to buy you out, or you're maintaining those shares in the company. Boils down to how you're structured.
So now you are in TribeVest. You're doing this full time, right? So why don't, for our listeners, why don't you just explain what is TribeVest? It's not, sure. The application goes beyond just real estate investing.
Yeah.
So why don't you maybe explain a little bit of that too, just so we kind of all have a base for what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. TribeVest at its core is it's a collaboration platform for group investing, right? We built the platform to allow people to use their friends, connections within their network, friends, family, trusted coworkers, to use the platform to come together and invest in things together as one. That really does things like mitigate the risk, allow you to overcome capital barriers. It's just a way to really leverage your most valuable asset, which is your network. And so the platform itself allows you to structure that group in a way that's going to protect you, protect the relationships, walks you through creating your legal entity, your operating agreement, getting everything on the table up front, and then ultimately pooling your capital and tracking it via the cap table and the capital ledger. And then we also allow our tribes to bank directly from the platform. And so it's really an all-encompassing product that allows you to group invest together.
And I'd like to hear kind of how you guys discovered these pain points or mm-hmm. thought to bring this kind of one-stop shop for group investing. But if you've ever been in an investment partnership before, you know, I mean, everybody just got through filing their taxes, you know, so by the time this drops, it'll be a couple months ago, but everybody's like, crap, I got to track down K-1s or issue K-1s and I've got to get that to my tax accountant. And he's asking me all these questions. And so, you know, just even tax season is super complex. Somebody's, you know, going and being the gopher, you know, going here, going there. And then, you know, all the distributions and monitoring all that stuff. So it's complex to have one partnership. Like Seth and I, we've kind of said like, hey, we approach our partnerships with much more strategy, and we don't just kind of haphazardly jump into them anymore because of even just the noise that it creates in your
cost,
mind.
The complications. Yeah. It takes up your brain space. So
I guess elaborate a little bit. I'm always fascinated when that first idea, because at the end of the day, people have had ideas probably before about something like TribeVest.
Yeah.
But there's a gap between, you know, execution and having that idea.
Yeah, so much wrapped up in what you just said too around those pain points, and it's trade-offs, right? There's benefits, but then you recognize the pain. But really the origin there started with Travis Smith, who's our CEO. And I met Travis, again, coming off of the fuel payment company there, was introduced to Travis via a mutual friend. And we talk about the origin tribe, which was actually Travis and his brothers over a decade ago, long before TribeVest.
Wow.
And if you want to see that full story, he tells it well on our website at TribeVest.com. But, you know, essentially him and his brothers realized that they wanted to build wealth, but also realized that they didn't have the capital to do so. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, how can we do this? And so I met Travis, and he started to tell me this origin story about what he'd done with his brothers, and having four brothers of my own, and having had very similar conversations when we get together, when we're out somewhere, oh, you know what we should do? We should buy this together, or we should do this. And everyone's had those conversations. But to your point, it's just difficult to go from concept to execution, right? Mm-hmm. And so Travis began to describe this experience he'd had, and had other people asking, well, how did you guys do that? How did you, because ultimately they were able to pool their capital and sort of establish very, over the course of time, very roughly that first tribe. And so he had this vision of, you know, how to spread this to the masses. So that's when I met him, and they were just sort of had this idea. They're working very manually with people to test this out. And having identified with that story and bringing my software background to it, I could see the vision for a platform that became what we call a neutral third party, right? It's a platform that takes all of the emotion out of it. It doesn't have to be you hunting down your family and friends for a check. It doesn't have to be you, right, going and finding certain documents. But this neutral third party that could give life to this concept of a tribe. And so we met, immediately hit it off, and that's when we really started to build the platform today.
Anybody who's even interacted from a consumer standpoint with some kind of software can appreciate the complexities, especially when it integrates multiple services into one platform.
Sure.
So like regulation comes out and changes something in the banking realm, you know, that trickles down and affects how you guys operate. I mean, just so many things. You've probably, how many services do you guys have to work with to make sure that your platform is able to facilitate that environment?
Yeah. Well, you hit some of the most complex, which is the banking, because we do offer full business banking from our platform. And so there's the banking side and then the legal side, right? Being able to file your LLC or your entity in any of the 50 states, you can do that from the platform. Being able to draft and ultimately sign your operating agreement and do that from the platform. And so the banking and legal by far are the two most complex, keeping everybody safe and in line. The KYC, know your customer, banking regulation that goes on behind the scenes. Those are the two that are most complex, and we have to keep a great or close eye on any changes in that arena. But we also have great partners behind the scenes that have made that much more seamless than it could have been.
The cool thing is, so for people listening, this the application for you and your friend or your two friends. It doesn't have to be like a quasi handshake agreement, and you don't have to spend hours trying to find an attorney and be like, I don't really know. I'm not used to talking to real estate attorneys. You could download this app. You could go through the process, and then you can have an actual agreement that protects you and your friends and your relationships with those friends because it's all spelled out. And then you can invest together through that. The other application, the first way we heard of it was through Left Field Investors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they have people pulling together in tribes. And so let's say for a syndication, so they want to invest in a syndication, the minimum buy-in's $50,000 or $100,000. Well, you could get 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys in a tribe and you could invest in that syndication to where otherwise, if you didn't have 50 grand, you weren't going to get in, and you don't benefit in the upside. You don't benefit in the depreciation. You don't benefit
absolutely
in all that stuff. So just for everybody that's listening, how does this apply to you? It can be as simple as you want it to be, it sounds like. I mean, is that right, Zach? I mean, it could be as simple as buying a single family house together.
Yeah, and we've seen it all. You know, you're talking about thousands of dollars and hours that you save. You would have otherwise had to gone through multiple professionals. And we like to really brag on the fact that depending on the state you're doing this in, we've seen tribes in as little as 24 hours go from concept to having a legal entity, an operating agreement signed, capital in the bank, ready to deploy into whatever investment it is.
Which is unheard of for places like California and New York.
Unheard of.
Anytime you talk about legal work, banking, real estate, everybody thinks about California and New York because they 100%. Operate totally different. So the fact that you guys have figured out a way to do that for all 50 states is pretty incredible.
And it gets multiplied, you know, to the nth degree by how many members you have, right? The complexity gets multiplied.
You're right.
But yes, application could be anything. And we've seen it all from people buying single family homes, buying a vacation home together. Real estate's really popular, of course. So syndicates, as you mentioned, is a big deal. But also people investing in startups together or starting a small business venture together. Really any group activity that involves some sort of investment or capital pooling, we've probably seen it.
It's very cool.
So, okay, when there's something so kind of broad sweeping, it's hard to even wrap your, it's like AI, it's going to change things, you know? And you're like, well,
we don't know
how. What else is it going to change? It's going to change everything. So with TribeVest, how do you educate people? I mean, I know you hit a couple laundry list things, but is there like an FAQ or a spot that somebody can go and say, oh, I wonder if this would be applicable, and they go to check it?
Well, something that we've just fallen in love with is telling our tribe stories. And so you can go to the website and watch, there's 20 plus tribe story videos where we just start to tell the stories of our tribes, and you get a real taste of the different things that tribes are investing in, and get a different vantage point on where they're coming from. Everybody's different. Some have the capital up front and want to do this together. Some are overcoming those barriers together. So if you really want to get inspired and see what you could use this for, that's a great place to start. Our chief storyteller, Julian McClurkin, who's also a Harlem Globetrotter, is the one who does those tribe stories, and he just does a great job. So I'd go there. You can get, cool. I mean, I'm pretty confident pretty quickly you'll have some idea of what you could do together through TribeVest.
Yeah, we'll provide those links in the show notes for some of those specific pages. So here's the $1 million question. What do your tribes look like?
Yeah, my brothers, right? I joined the pretty quickly, joined on two of my brothers and a close friend of ours. We are in a tribe together. And I got to tell you, it is one of the most fun things we do. It gives you the benefit of getting together for a purpose, right? Even if we're not making an investment every other week, we meet regularly so that we can just talk about what are we going to do or how are our investments performing. It's an excuse to get together and talk about some of the things that we're most passionate about. So it's my tribe is four of us. We contribute a monthly amount just to keep for operating expenses and things into the tribe. And then we're certainly keeping our eye out for investments. So we've invested in a startup, syndications. We've looked at laundromats as a potential next investment. So we're getting ready to deploy our capital again. We just haven't determined what that looks like yet.
Wow. Very cool. That is really cool. So there's some community that kind of fosters around it. Yeah. You guys are putting money in monthly so that you could take on another investment. Now, here's a question. That partnership of four, do you have one tribe even though you're invested in multiple things, or do you create a new tribe for every investment?
Yeah. Us personally, one tribe, we invest in multiple things. And that's because we're pretty tight-knit group. We're viewing this as a very long-term thing, but we on the platform encourage tribes to consider branching or making multiple tribes for each investment, of course depending on what the nature of the investment is. But you see that a lot with the syndications. Every syndication investing in a syndication is its own tribe, and right. That keeps things clean from a cap table and a books perspective.
Yeah, very cool. So we're going to pivot here. Having you on today, software developer, somebody who's kind of got one foot in the fintech kind of realm and then one foot in real estate. what are the areas in the real estate landscape, you know, maybe there are gaps that you see technology can fill or systematize, simplify, streamline for real estate investors?
Yeah, you know, it's such an interesting question because prop tech, that area has been you know, highly touted for a while now, a lot of interest in the space to solve some of these pain points. And we've seen some progress, but I'd say there's still a long way to go. And I think that the nature of real estate is interesting in that some of those biggest opportunities are the intersection points between the different roles in a real estate deal, right? We're very much on the fintech side, but we also fill into that prop tech space because we're part of that deal process. We're just upfront getting people together, right? But anytime you've got a change of hands, whether that's with the title company, whether that's with you know, the banking sellers, I think there's opportunities at those intersection points and a lack of integration right now between systems. So I think that's an interesting area to focus on is creating the bridge between maybe some of the more popular systems. And then an area that we are very much paying attention to is more on the tokenization side of real estate and just that ability to, in a lot of ways, I view it as the other end of what we do, which is when you're tokenizing real estate, you're breaking down an asset into smaller chunks that are purchasable, right? You can take my property, break it out into maybe 1,000, just throwing that out there, tokens. Of value, and then you can get a chunk of that property, right? Not the whole thing, just a piece of it. So it's fragmenting an asset. And that's one way to give people access. I think that's really exciting is exposing access. But the other end on our side, we look at it as we're elevating people to overcome, you know, those thresholds so that you're not just getting a piece of the asset, you're getting the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it's two different approaches for access to these traditionally capital challenging assets. But I think it's interesting to look at both sides of that spectrum.
So yeah, and just to, and this is probably less for our listeners and more for me, because I tell Seth, I'm a very simple guy. I understand real estate, but this whole other realm of things with software and crypto and how that's influencing real estate is very new to me. So essentially, tokenization is taking the asset and making smaller pieces.
Yeah.
And the elevating is taking an asset that maybe has a higher barrier of entry and pooling people together to be able to tackle that.
Yep.
And I think what's interesting in some of the technological advancements we've seen in the last decade is it's all about democratizing a certain specific industry. You know, Uber democratized transportation. Airbnb democratized travel and kind of the hotel hospitality industry. And so in a sense, you guys are kind of democratizing in conjunction with syndications, fundraise, real estate. So historically, real estate has been something that's been reserved for the elite. You know, I was listening to another podcast. The largest real estate developer in the United States was on, and you know, billionaire guy. And he was talking about how decades ago, real estate was reserved for more of these kind of corporate, you know, high net worth individuals. And so it's wild to me that I could download an app. There's an app for that. Put money in with four buddies and go buy a piece of real estate or an interest ownership in a bigger piece of real estate.
Yeah.
So yeah, someone...
Go ahead.
Well, if someone... So let's say someone already... This is hypothetical, but let's say someone already has an LLC. Mm-hmm. They're partnered with six other guys for one single family house. Mm-hmm. It's really clunky and they're doing all the stuff themselves. Is there a way to get that LLC on TribeVest?
Yeah, no, I love the hypothetical questions, and there
asking
is
asking for a friend. By the way.
Asking for a friend, I know a very specific friend.
we do have a mechanism for importing an existing entity, and then we've got a phenomenal customer onboarding team that would walk you through that. And so we do see that a lot: people bringing an existing partnership onto the platform.
Okay. Here's the word for that: alignment. That's what you guys are bringing, is alignment.
I mean, yeah, we started off, you know, a lot of our language early on was around alignment. And that's that part of getting people on the same page up front, right?
You guys should have called me then. I mean, I feel like, I could have helped.
And Garrett, that's to your point, I think, you know, we like to say that this is not a concept we've invented. The wealthy, to your point, the wealthy have done this since the dawn of time, right? Yeah, they've leveraged the people around them to achieve bigger and better things. But what have we been taught in the middle class? Don't do business with friends and family,
right?
And there's good reason for that. But we think the time has come, just like Airbnb, just going to a stranger's house, right? Just like Uber, not getting in a stranger's car.
Right.
The time has come to say, no, you know what? When done right and with a neutral third party, investing with friends, family, and your network is an incredibly powerful thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is powerful. So, all right, well, we're going to transition here into our smaller pocket segment.
Spinning. It works for me. Smaller pockets.
So a little spin off of our bigger pockets that people have heard of before. Instead of your highlight reel, Zach, what is one painful real estate story that you were a part of, and what did you learn from that?
Yeah, I was mentioning when we were talking earlier, giving this some thought, you know, I still consider personally us in our infancy in our real estate investing journey. So thankfully we've not had any burning failures to date. but one, we'll see, talk to me again here soon. We had one in mind though. We were involved in Springfield, Ohio, and had some success around some small multifamilies there, duplex. This was one of our first ventures. I think, our second, it would have been our second property.
When you say we, who is that?
Sorry, my wife and I, personally, our family, not our tribe, not my tribe. But, you know, we had some success with the small multifamilies, and there came up this larger multifamily. I think it was maybe 20 units around there. And a pretty good price point. I can't remember off the top of my head, but you know, Springfield, I think similar to Lima, has been pretty affordable compared to the Columbus market. And was really excited about the potential there. And I think in retrospect, realized I was biting off more than I could chew, right? A little too aggressive too early on, which is probably my nature. and tried to make that deal work. In the end, the partner that we were going to go with from a financing perspective didn't work out. But come to find out who did acquire that property, surely is underwater. It's been an absolute disaster to try to renovate those 20 units.
And
have just followed along from a distance of that. But I think the takeaway for me there was just there's value in starting slow and working your way up. But when you have some success early on, you're excited to jump those few steps to some of those larger properties.
Had the financing partner followed through on their end, would you have moved forward with it?
And financing partner, I mean a friend of mine, we were going to go in together. So so the financing on his side, I would have moved forward with it. I think we would have.
Wow.
I think
now you're whew.
saved. Yeah. I think at the time it was a timing issue because he was, tied up in some other properties that weren't going to liquidate anytime soon. So yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to jump into our next segment. It's our little nugget. So what is one practical takeaway or piece of advice for our listeners to implement into their real estate investing business?
Yeah, I think, a couple come to mind, but one initially is just being biased towards action. It's something that I've really clung to throughout my journey, especially in this day and age of so much data and information and I'm all about it, but it's so easy to just analyze yourself to death. And I think early on in your real estate investing journey, you've probably heard you're not going to make or break on that first or that second opportunity. And I have found way more success in being biased towards action, being biased towards actually making a move and learning from that, good or bad, than would have ever come if I had spent so much more time, analyzing it to death. So I think bias towards action. And then the second one I'd say, well, you said one, but I'll give you a second. It would be
a freebie.
Success, whether it's entrepreneurial or real estate, I think comes as a culmination of all the previous experiences. It's real easy to think, oh, I'm going to try this or find another opportunity, find an investment, start another venture, and then it'll click. And that will be the successful one. And I think, again, in retrospect, every success you have is just the culmination of all those things prior, and each one is building on the next. And so, I think take heart in that it's not a one shot opportunity.
Yeah, dude. I had a local pastor, because I had a ministry background, and he was talking about, sermon preparation, right? And so you're always preaching every Sunday. Or if you're me, you're just always preaching. But he was like, my goal in preparing sermons is I just want to hit singles and doubles.
Yeah.
And, I've since taken that advice and applied that to pretty much all aspects of my life. So many times when you're hungry, you're ready to get started, you want to start swinging for the fences. And when you start swinging for the fences, typically your form kind of starts to go. It's like being on the fairway. Sure. And you're like, I'm going to drive all the way to the green. And what happens? You slice, you shank it, because there's a breakdown. Your form isn't ready to handle that capacity and that force that you want to put forward on it. So singles and doubles culminate, and there's that hockey stick kind of growth that you experience. And I have to hear that again and again and preach that.
Oh,
to
it's
myself,
hard. So. Yeah, it's hard because in a moment it never feels like you're hitting that home run, right? Mm-hmm. In the moment it feels like you're hitting another single, and that's not what anyone is typically in the game for, right?
Right.
So it's difficult. It's something that you do need to remind yourself of often.
I think in the last minute and a half, we've hit like three or four sports references. We got like golf and hockey and baseball and maybe something else thrown in there.
We need a pickleball reference.
So good job.
To appeal to an older demographic. Very
cool. It's a young man's game retirement. You know what I mean? By the way.
Younger people are now playing pickleball.
Dude, oh, yeah.
I was just listening. It was either a podcast or at a conference, but they said now a lot of the new Maltese people want pickleball. So it's a young man's game now.
I am one phone call away from one of the top pickleball players in the world. I'm serious. I have him in my phone. I could call him right now if I wanted to.
Wow.
I'm not going to. What does that get you? I don't know, but I know
there's
the
new pickleball and pickleball and chill. It's called facility right down the road from me. So if you guys are ever in Columbus, we'll go play some pickleball.
I have mixed emotions with that. Yeah.
Rightfully so.
So Zach, what's been one of the greatest resources in your real estate investing career, entrepreneurial career?
Yeah. Yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I try to read more than I try to listen. So there's some really, you know, valuable people that I've just picked up a lot from. Bigger Pockets was huge early on, of course. I think like a lot of people, and a lot of the same books as in the real estate front. I was trying to think of something really tangible here, though, other than the standard stuff. And this is maybe a little bit random, but I have spent so much time in the population data that is, you know, free. If you've never dove into that, forget the website. It's the government website. And I think people maybe don't appreciate how much is available through that. There's so many different surveys and censuses, of course, and other things that you can get really valuable information from. And we did that initially for 20, 30 different cities in Ohio when we were getting into our initial real estate investing and just trying to evaluate the trends in the direction that things are heading in these different markets. And that all came from the population data. And so something very tangible to consider. So,
yeah, the Bureau of Census, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. We had another guest talk about that in terms of her underwriting process. Mm. And, you know, I think one of the things that our generation struggles with is we have too many options.
So true.
We're barraged with, well, you could go here to get it. You could go here to get it. They're going to have the same information, but packaged in a slightly different way. You kind of forget, hey, we can actually go to the source.
Right.
Absolutely.
And, you know, kind of immerse ourselves in that. So that's good. Lastly, how can people follow your success, TribeVest? What would be some of the resources that they could plug into on that?
Yeah, as far as myself, you know, always open to connecting on LinkedIn. Garrett, I think that's where you messaged me when you were at the Best Ever Conference, right? Yeah. And so that's a good place for me personally. Would love to connect with you. For TribeVest, TribeVest.com as our home base. Of course, we're on all the social channels as well if you want to follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, and so on. But one thing I wanted to make sure to mention is, particularly for those who are interested in passive investing, and you mentioned left field investors earlier, we have a great resource you can get to on our website. That's a masterclass on syndications and passive investing. And it's done in partnership with Left Field Investors and Jim Pfeiffer. Wow. It's a multi-part series there that you can get for free. And I would just encourage listeners to do that. If nothing else, it'll expose you and inform you to a world that is hot. It's growing and a big opportunity there.
Very cool.
That's very practical. And by the time that you're listening to this episode, Jim's would have come out for Left Field. So you have some context for who they are to be able to go and get that masterclass.
Yeah. And just even before we close here, I mean, it sounds like we didn't really get into like what does it cost to set up a tribe. But when I was talking to the rep at Best Ever, it was really affordable. I mean, it was like not very much. I mean, it was very comparable to if you were to pay an attorney really to set up an LLC and file it.
Yeah.
Do you have any metrics for like Ohio kind of roundabout where you'd be at?
From a cost perspective?
Yeah, from a cost perspective, like $500 to set up your tribe and maybe $300 ongoing or something similar to that? Or
yeah, so $49 a month if you want to pay monthly, $348 annually to set up and run your tribe. And then we pass through, that covers everything except the state filing cost, which varies by state. In Ohio, that's $99 one time to file your LLC. But yeah, $348 a year and $49 monthly is the price point for TribeVest. And we feel like that's there's incredible value there, given what you'd be, you know, covering with an attorney and others. So we've really tried to keep it accessible for everybody.
Are there any specials you're running today?
maybe we should talk about a promo code.
That would be awesome.
No. Yeah, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Zach. You know, we're excited to have another Lima guy on here, but doing something much bigger than our area to bring some cool information to our listeners. So thank you.
Oh, I appreciate you guys having me. It's been great.
Awesome. As always, excited that you joined us on another episode of the Reinvest Podcast. If this episode added to your tool belt or left you feeling inspired, go ahead and share it with a friend. Stay tuned every Tuesday for new episodes. And if you want to get in touch with us, go to our LinkedIn or Facebook profiles and shoot us a message. Move farther, reach higher, and grow deeper. See you next time.